Good morning.
Happy New Year. Boy, the year 2020, we all ought to have great vision this year, right? As a kid, the show 2020, and I think about the year, it's like, man, that's way out there. That's a long ways away. And here we are, 2020. But we praise God that in the midst of a constantly changing world and our constantly changing lives, that we have His promise. I love Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so we enter this year of the unknowns to us, but not unknown to God, and knowing that the Lord reigns for our well-being. And so we can enter with confidence and boldness and security. Well, we welcome each and every one of you this morning, a special welcome to our visitors with us. We invite everybody to sign in on the fellowship pad at the far left end of each pew in front of you. If you would like to let us know that you're here with us, and if you want us to contact you, that'd be a great place to give us information that we may do that as well, and we'll try to get in touch with you very soon. Well, the order of worship that we follow this morning is page 151, but of course everything will be on the screen. And we have a couple announcements. I see Angela, our Director of Christian Education, is here. And Pastor Hesse, you may want to wander down because you have an announcement as well. Angela.
Hi, good morning.
Boy, we don't want to scare people away, Angela. Maybe we'll keep that to the kids. Pastor Hesse.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all?
Good.
All right. Blessed. We are so blessed to be here, being in God's house. This morning, it's not the bulletin, but we are beginning a new class downstairs, and there's a number of really good Bible studies. But the one that I teach, Lance and I are going to be working together. Lance is looking out the window. Pay attention, Lance. That's the teacher. But we're going to be starting a new Bible study from the beginning to the end, or is it the end to the beginning? Study of the first part of Genesis and also Revelation with stops along the way through the Bible. So if you can join us, please do. And also, there are other Bible studies throughout the church, but get involved in God's Word in this new year. And thank you all.
Thank you, Pastor Hesse. In our worship today, Ken, and God bless Ken for playing faithfully for us. We appreciate all the music, Ken, and leading us in worship. But Ken has a favorite Christmas hymn that's not in our hymnal, and you may not be familiar with it, but it's a beautiful hymn. And so for the hymn of the day today, we'll be singing that hymn, and we'll sing all five verses. It's just incredible words, but by the fifth verse, we ought to know this hymn quite well. So just be heads up for that. It may be one you're not real familiar with, but it's a beautiful hymn. So, well, let us begin our worship, and we begin with the opening hymn.
Once in royal
work of salvation that our Lord has won for us.
Is my mic on? Yes, now I can hear it. We gather in God's grace, and we are blessed to gather in the name of the one true Almighty Living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God inspired the Apostle John to write these words, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And let us just take a moment in silence as we ponder these words and a time for personal confession. And let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm number 119, beginning at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law.
It is my meditation all the day.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies.
For it is ever with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For your testimonies are my meditation.
I understand more than the aged. I hold back my feet from every evil way.
In order to keep your word.
I do not turn aside from your just decrees.
For you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste.
Sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your precepts I get understanding.
Therefore I hate every false way.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Merciful Lord, you have revealed your love for us in sending to us your Son, whose obedience to your will and purpose has rescued and redeemed us, a rebellious and hard-hearted people. By your Holy Spirit, build within us hearts of faith to receive what he has done with joy and to follow his example of obedience, reverencing your word and walking in your ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now for our scripture readings for today. The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday after Christmas comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and you have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at the 3rd verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This too is the word of our Lord. This time I'd invite you to rise for the reading of our Holy Gospel today, and as we speak the words of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 2.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Beginning at the 40th verse, the boy Jesus in the temple. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, and in stature, and in favor with God and man. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated now, and at this time I'd invite the kiddos to come up for today's children's message. Good morning to all of you. Our theme for this morning is In My Father's House. And I share with you another little scripture from chapter 2 of Luke. "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Well, how many of you here this morning have ever misplaced anything? Several of you? Okay. How about the adults? All those hands are up there, sure. Of course we've all done that. For example, we as adults, we sit down to read a book, the phone rings, we get up, we go over and answer the phone, and then when we're done with the conversation, we can't remember where we left the book, and so we have to go searching for it. Or one of my favorites is the dreaded TV controller. Okay? In my house, I am the king of this object, except when I lose it. Because we have three of them that look exactly the same. And if I misplace them in the wrong room, they won't work the TV set. So we've got that going on. Some of the adults, too, we're good at this. We lose what? Car keys, right? Can't remember where we left them. I've done this in school. I put the key in the door, and I thought, okay, I'll remember where it is. And I've gone into a classroom, and I walk out, and I forget the keys there, and I go back to the office, and I'll ask Mr. Erickson, "Where are my keys?" "I don't know." And speaking of Mr. Erickson, he loves to drink coffee. And sometimes in school, he puts that coffee into the microwave to reheat it,
and then somebody, one of the teachers comes and they need something and he walks away and he comes back and he can't remember where the coffee cup is. And so he has to go searching for that. And those kinds of things happen, don't they? Well, what do we do when we misplace things? We go on a search, right? We go looking for them. We try to retrace our steps. Well, in the gospel reading this morning, there were some parents who unfortunately misplaced something. And they weren't just any parents, they were Mary and Joseph, right? Who had they misplaced?
Jesus,
their own child. Can you imagine that? I have to share this experience. When I was in Fort Morgan, my youngest son was in kindergarten, and we had a track meet in Denver, and Mr. Erickson will probably relate to this. And so the day came for the track meet, and he was in kindergarten. And I took off with the rest of the school kids that were going to the track meet, and I got to Wiggins, and all of a sudden I remembered I forgot my son. But I didn't have time to go back and get him. And so his mom had to pick him up from school. Well, when I got home that evening, he was in the kitchen with two wooden spoons. You forgot me, Dad. I'm sorry, son. I misplaced him. Well, Jesus' parents did the same thing. And they took off. And they left him there. They were a day's journey away. You know, sometimes we hear horror stories, don't we? Kids get left at a truck stop or a rest area, and the parents think they're in the vehicle, and they take off, and they have to come back. Well, in this case, Jesus had been gone, and they couldn't find him. And they came back. And the amazing part of the story to me is they searched for him for 3 days when they came back to Jerusalem. They still couldn't find him. Where did they end up locating him? Where was he finally found? In the temple, kind of like in church. He was among the scholars, the teachers, the priests. He was teaching them, and he was learning things from them and asking questions. And of course, and you can imagine any parent, mom was a little upset, you know. Why did you treat us this way? And what was Jesus' response? Didn't you know that I had to be where? In my Father's house. And they were astonished at that saying. And yet, it was important for him to be there. Why? Jesus already knew he was God's son. And it was important for him to be there. Well, you know what? It's just as important for you guys to be in God's house too, as you are here today. And I am so honored and thrilled and impressed by the parents who bring you guys here each and every Sunday as we come. Well, what's the purpose of all that, behind all that? Well, there's a lot of things. For one, this is a house of worship. We learn about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is also a house of prayer, where we offer up prayers of thanksgiving or prayers for others who need those prayers, the sick, the ill, so forth. It is a house of peace. And I hope especially for you guys, you know that it is also a house of love and joy and happiness as we come each and every week to celebrate being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is where we find him. Sometimes we get so busy in our lives that we forget about Jesus, don't we? We're at home, the things, and we as adults, the same things happen to us. We get caught up in our jobs, we rush here, there, and everywhere, and we sometimes forget about the Lord. And we need to remember, just like Mary and Joseph, where do we go to find him? When we trace our steps, we come to this house, the house of the Lord, and we learn about him. And today, Pastor once again has a wonderful message for us concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I say to all of you today, thank you for being here. Continue to grow in your faith and give thanks and praise to your parents for bringing you here. Well, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we have come into your house today. We've come to worship you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help all of us remember that there is no better place for your children than to be in your house. We ask this and pray about it in Jesus' precious holy name. And God's children said, Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. You may go back. Ken, we'll continue now with the sermon hymn.
Beautiful hymn, Ken. Thanks for sharing that. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what incredible words God shares with us from his holy and inerrant word, the Bible, this morning. But I'd like our focus to be in this account that Mr. Whitney shared with the kids this morning of Jesus being in the temple. And in light of this, the theme that I hold before you is the ordinary beside the miraculous. The ordinary beside the miraculous. And very seemingly ordinary words in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, as the gospel reading began, with reference to Jesus, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Seems kind of ordinary, right? I mean, incredible blessing, but I'd like us to think about that in light of Jesus' humanity. Remember, Jesus is a unique person, unlike anyone else, fully God and fully man in this one person, Jesus Christ. Seems kind of ordinary, though, when we see just Jesus in the flesh, doesn't it? Well, you know, I don't know if any of you have experienced angels. In my life journey of ministry, I've heard many incredible angel accounts. I've had a couple of my own personally. But the one I'd like to share this morning is one that my wife Lindy had when she was a teenager. And Lindy grew up in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And she and her mom and one of their friends went to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and they would take back roads, and it's pretty desolate out in those parts. And anyway, they're coming home late afternoon. It's winter time. There's some black ice on the road. Lindy was driving, the teenager, didn't see it, spun out of control, went into the ditch, didn't hurt anything. Her dad's fancy car, though, she was worried about that. And anyway, a hubcap flew off of the car, and Lindy's like, you know, who cares about the car in the ditch? I got to find that hubcap because I got to see my dad a little later. And anyway, this old beater pickup pulls up, parks, and there's a man and a woman in the pickup, and the woman's the passenger. And Lindy's frantically out in the snow looking for where the hubcap went. And the woman in the pickup just kind of methodically pointed right to where it was at. And Lindy thought, well, that's kind of strange. She looked, and there was the hubcap. Got it put back on. Everything was fine. And they were able to get out of the ditch. And then this couple asked them, they said, well, we're headed to Cheyenne. Is there a good place to eat that you would suggest and a good place to stay? And so they gave them the information. And so they thought that they would go right, headed west to Cheyenne, as they're going left, headed east to Scott's Bluff, headed home. But this couple goes in the same direction ahead of them. And they think, well, that's kind of strange. They said they were going to Cheyenne. They come up over the crest of a hill, and the pickup goes out of sight down the hill. And when you get to the crest of the hill, you can probably see 10 miles in all directions. And when they come to the crest of the hill themselves, the pickup's gone. It's nowhere to be found. It just ceased to exist visually. Wow, what an incredible experience. But very ordinary, couple pulls up in a pickup, but they didn't realize initially the miraculous that was connected with that. And you know, to a whole nother level, we consider the events that transpire this morning. Here we have Mary and Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, and they are raising, blessed to raise this child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is the Son of God in the flesh. And here in the midst of their lives, they are blessed to raise this child in this little town of Nazareth up in Galilee. And living with a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. By the way, in our travels to the Holy Land, I learned something, researched it. And actually, carpenter in the Greek language means builder. So it can also mean mason worker. And the people on the tour shared with us that there's probably ruins around Nazareth that Jesus and Joseph probably worked together on in building. That was the business of the family as Jesus grew up in that family. But we see the emphasis God gives to us of Jesus' human nature and what seems very ordinary. He grew up developing as a child physically. He grew up as true man in the flesh as a little child, being filled with God's wisdom, growing in the grace of God as true man, knowing God's grace was with him. And most of all, he rested upon his Father in heaven. And so here was literally the perfect child. Can you imagine raising the perfect child? And yet, as people looked in, it would seem very ordinary. And Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, extremely faithful, and we see that revealed in verse 41 of our text. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So we see the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph. In fact, for Joseph and for Jesus, now 12, for male children 12 or older, and for the males in the family, it was a requirement that they would go to Jerusalem to celebrate these various feasts that God commanded. And there were three of them, the Passover feast, the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. These are big deals. And people from all over the known world, Jews that lived elsewhere, they would make that pilgrimage and that journey. When Lindy and I were in Jerusalem, we were there during the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were Jews there from all over the world. It was packed in Jerusalem that week while we were there. It was a huge feast. And again, that tradition and that command carries on among the Jews to this very day. And so we see the faithfulness of these parents. Mary didn't have to come. And yet we see that she also came. The whole family and probably neighbors came with them. And so we see the faithfulness of parents raising the Christ child. It's just incredible when you think about that. But here is where the miraculous comes in. This is no ordinary child. As I said, Jesus not only true man, but also fully God in the flesh. And you know, it really, I never thought about this, but at Easter, resurrection time, when we focus on that, we look at all those resurrection witness accounts. You know, even over 500 seeing Jesus alive after he had died. But I never thought about all of the accounts in Jesus' childhood referencing and revealing that he is true God. And I think it's rather fascinating. It was really an eye-opener for me as you put these together. And so I'm sorry I don't have sermon notes in the bulletin this morning, but if you have a pen, you may just want to write some of these references down that we're going to put on the screen. But in Luke 1:35, remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and informed her that she would be with child. And here's what the angel responded to Mary when she said, "Well, how can that be? You know, I'm not married. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Think about the ordinary carpenter's son, Jesus, out there working on buildings, working in construction. And yet it's the very Son of God in the flesh as God reveals to Mary the child in her womb. And then we hear in Matthew 1:21, remember Joseph was going to put his betrothed woman away because they had not had relations yet. It appeared that Mary had an affair. And the angel appears to Joseph with these words, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So God reveals to us in this little tiny child, not even born yet, child in the womb, that this is the Son of God, this is Jesus, because this is the Savior of the world. And then in Matthew 2:11, the Epiphany, as we focus on the Magi, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and what do? They fell down and worshiped him. Imagine that scene. Jesus, around 2 years old at that time, and here these elite men from a faraway place come as the star led them there, and they see this little infant child, and they bow down and they worship him. What a revelation as God revealed to them the reality of this one that seems so ordinary, but the incredible miracle of God's gift of his son. And then remember Simeon in the temple? So Jesus is about 40 days old at this time, and Mary and Joseph take him to dedicate their firstborn to God in the temple. Again, we see the faithfulness of these parents. You can find it in Luke chapter 2. And it had been revealed to him, this is Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God had informed Simeon, "I'm going to bless you with this. You're going to see the Christ child before your life ends on this earth." And then Simeon takes this little child, this little baby, up in his arms, so ordinary, and yet reveals the miracle in all of this. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon acknowledging that salvation is coming through this precious little baby that he's holding in his arms. And then remember the prophetess Anna was there in Jerusalem at the same time as Simeon. And when Anna saw the Christ child, here's her response. "And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him," Jesus here referenced by him, "to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." And so Anna giving testimony that redemption, being purchased by God, being given the gift of salvation, redemption comes through this little baby that I have been blessed to see with my own eyes. What witnesses, what testimony. And of course, then we go to our gospel account. Jesus chooses to stay at the temple when his parents leave because he's got important business. He's only 12 years old. Imagine that, a 12-year-old child in the temple with these experts of Judaism, these experts of God's word, the professors of the day, if you will. And here this 12-year-old is listening to them and responding to their questions, and he's asking them questions. And what do we hear their response in verse 47? "And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." So a 12-year-old walks into the temple, ordinary, and when Jesus leaves, they are just blown away by what he understands and comprehends. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph, as they come onto the scene and they see what their 12-year-old son is doing, we hear that they were astonished. And then Jesus himself gives the testimony, doesn't he? When Jesus says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" The ordinary, in the midst of the extraordinary, this miraculous event of Jesus revealing his divinity. He is true God. Well, that said, how often, and I ask first and foremost myself this question, but I offer it to you as well, how often do we fail to get beyond the ordinary? When you think about your life, when you think about your relationship with Jesus Christ, do you ever get into that mode of it's just kind of all ordinary? I think that we probably all do. You know, it really saddens me as a pastor when I go to funerals in other churches. Many times I don't ever hear Jesus' name even mentioned. It's all about the individual and their life. And I think the most miraculous thing is the resurrection. And yet, when people need to hear most the victory over death and the grave through Jesus Christ, Jesus isn't mentioned. Literally, his name is not even mentioned. Or how about the idea that Jesus can't stand alone in drawing people to worship? I think we have to be very careful with this one today. And in light of the consumerism world that we live in, what I hear a lot of times in reference to church growth, you need the best facilities, you need the professional musicians, you need the dynamic preachers, you need innovative marketing techniques. And when you think about that, maybe that's not all bad if that's secondary. But how often, as churches, and dare I say, are we even tempted to put our trust in those things to draw the multitudes in instead of simply revealing the ordinary who is miraculous? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises, by the way, that he is with us always. It's his word that we're addressing here this morning. And what priority do families have today? I mean, if Jesus is just ordinary, it's understandable. I mean, oh yeah, this was this great historical person. He was a phenomenal teacher, and boy, a lot of religions even remember Jesus, and they even recognize him as a true man that walked on the face of the earth. But that's where it stops. And I wonder in our attitudes sometimes if that's where it stops with us. If Jesus is just ordinary, then this isn't that big a deal to be here this morning, right? And it's not that big a deal to have my kids here, and I'm preaching to the choir. God bless parents, having your kids here, being here together as a whole family, like we saw Jesus with Mary and Joseph. Wow, what a testimony. But life sometimes can seem so ordinary when we fail to see Jesus for who he really is in the midst of our lives. And so we get into the mode, if I have time, the church offers what I want. If there's nothing else going on, yeah, I'll take a little time to spend in God's word. What is your if? And I ask myself the same. And it's perfectly understandable with those ifs if Jesus is only an ordinary mere man. But the good news is that he is not. The good news is he is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is the only one who could do this and accomplish it. He is God in the flesh, and the victory has been won, and we see the gospel presented so beautifully before us. The cross going into the manger scene, the whole life and purpose of Jesus coming, and the victory. We need the empty tomb up here too, but the victory that our Lord has won for us. And we are blessed to live in this miraculous, beside the ordinary, every moment of our lives. It's incredible how God works. Think about the in hymns that we heard in the epistle reading this morning. Did you hear that? You know, the epistle reading begins in verse 5. We heard in Ephesians 1, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It's always through Jesus Christ. So it's only through him that we can come to faith. In Ephesians 1:7, we hear this series of in hymns. And I want you to really think about these, because here's the extraordinary, the miraculous, in the midst of the ordinary, in Him, a reference to Jesus Christ. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. Jesus fulfilled the law, which we couldn't fulfill, and then He went to the cross and there willfully submitted Himself to receiving all of God's wrath and anger for our failure. He accomplished that. It's historical. That is redemption. In Him, we have redemption. In verse 11 of Ephesians 1, we see in Him again. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance. And that inheritance is eternal life. That inheritance is glory in heaven. And every believer receives this incredible inheritance. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, we see in Him again. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? God seals us into His family. And who the Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So the Lord not only offers it to us, but He also secures it for us. And it's all in Him. That one who seems so ordinary, that little babe, that 12-year-old child in the temple, that battered and beaten and bloodied Savior on the cross, the one laid in the tomb, the one who rose victoriously from the grave, that is Him who has done this incredible work. And by His grace, His means of grace, we are blessed to know Him. Isn't that incredible? To know Him as He is. And talk about ordinary beside the miraculous. Do you ever think about it? How about our baptismal font over there? We put water in that font. Pastor pours water over the head of a child in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And through that simple blessing that God instituted, incredible, miraculous things are happening in the life of that child. Simple, ordinary water beside the miraculous. Or how about the Lord's Supper? Today, that's not offered. Next Sunday, we'll have the Lord's Supper, and we'll be able to come to this table. And what are we going to receive? We're going to receive water and wine, right? Boy, that seems pretty ordinary, water and wine. And yet, when you connect that with God's promises, it's miraculous, because what does God promise? That in, with, and under this bread and wine, we are receiving the very body and blood of Jesus that died for us and who lives for us. And then, of course, there's the Holy Bible itself. Just a book of words, right? That seems rather ordinary. There's lots of books out there in the world. But the miraculous is that it's God's Word. It's the living Word. It's the inerrant Word. It's the Word that will never fail us. It's the Word that changes lives. It's changed all of our lives. How blessed we are to live in the ordinary, but to be able to see the miraculous. You know, it's wonderful when God does enable us to see the miraculous in a really incredible way, like Lindy seeing the angels. But what does Jesus say? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Think about that. This extraordinary, miraculous Lord, the very Son of God, our Redeemer, the one who at 12 was in that temple, is no stranger. But He's right here with us. And it's not only while we're in this sanctuary, it's every moment of our lives. The ordinary beside the miraculous, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who protects us, who guides us, who gives us new life, who will receive us home into glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Him, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I would invite us to stand and make confession of our faith, and we do that in song this morning. And you may be seated, and we continue with the offering.
Thank you.
turn to God in prayer. Oh, dear Lord God, as we approach this new year, as we are now in the year 2020, Lord, there are many concerning things going on in our nation, in the world, and probably in all of our families and individual lives as well. Lord, we take great comfort in knowing that you are familiar with all of our ways. Lord, this would be downright terrifying, knowing our sinful condition, if we did not know the greatness of your love and forgiveness. But Lord, what a blessing that you are familiar with all of our ways. You are the one alone who can say to us, I know exactly how you feel, and be genuine. And Lord, you are the one alone who can intervene in our lives and bring healing. Lord, we thank you for your precious word as you share in Romans 8 that you are for us. That in Ephesians 1, that Jesus, you ascended into heaven, that you reign over the universe for the benefit and the well-being of your church, the body of believers on the face of this earth. Lord, may we then, with confidence and boldness, enter into this year of unknowns, knowing that you are fully in control, and knowing, Lord, that you have incredible plans of ministry in each of our individual lives. Lord, may we have humble hearts and minds, that we recognize your presence among us in the midst of the ordinary, that we see the miraculous, the extraordinary presence of you among us. May this lift our hearts up, Lord, and encourage us and give us renewed strength and direction in life. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our nation and certainly with the new turmoil in the Middle East. Lord, we don't know where this will all go, but we pray that you would surround us with your protection. We pray that you would give our administration your wisdom and counsel, that they would humbly seek your will in these matters. And Lord, that your will would be accomplished among them and among the other leaders of the world. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you know those who go through severe trials of many different kinds in their lives. And Lord, we have quite a list in our bulletin this morning in the prayer section. We add to that list Lillian Bruns, who fell and broke her shoulder, and I understand they're not going to be able to do surgery. Lord, be with Lillian and give her patience and perseverance through this journey she is on. Lord, for Amanda Teener, who is having minor knee surgery this coming Tuesday afternoon. Lord, be with Amanda and give her calmness and peace before this surgery, knowing that you will orchestrate this whole event. We pray your blessings upon the medical staff that works with her. And Lord, use them as your servants of care and comfort and healing in Amanda's life. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for two special grandchildren connected to Trinity. Cody Schmidt, just 3 years old, as Cody continues in the chemotherapy, battling the cancer in his body. And Lord, for Jacob McKevitt, who this Wednesday is going to have another procedure done on his brain to try to alleviate the seizures that he battles in his body. Lord, we pray that you would protect these grandsons and bless them in this journey of healing. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for missionaries here and throughout the world. We pray for the Apple of His Eye ministry, Pastor Rogner serving in Israel, reaching out to the Jews with the good news, Jesus, of your love and the victory won. We pray for your continued blessings on this great mission based out of Tel Aviv in Israel, and upon Pastor Rogner and all those who work with him. Lord, we pray for Faith Comes by Hearing, and specifically for a pilot project going on in Pakistan and a recording project in a Central Asian country that they can have approval to do this. And Lord, words of praise from this ministry and using a key language now that is spoken in North Africa in their list of listening programs. Lord, your word continues to spread around the globe, and we thank you for the blessings upon all those who faithfully share it. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we all come here this morning, perhaps with heavy burdens on our hearts and minds, or maybe also a great joy because of recent things that may have happened, or should I say happiness. Lord, we take a moment in silence just to bring these before you. In all these, Lord, we pray your will be done and that you be glorified in the midst of them. We ask it all in your precious name, Jesus, honored to know and privileged to pray together the prayer, Jesus, that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in his peace. Amen.
I'm not afraid to die.
peace and serve the Lord.